100 kilometers of maritime borders in the north and south of the country, and scientific and expertise forces, Iran can turn into a hub and role model for agricultural development in the region and beyond. This can help the government decrease its dependence on oil revenues. Although big steps have been taken in the field of agriculture in Iran, there are many capacities which have been left unheeded. Many capacities have been neglected, which can cause a leap in agriculture. One of these capacities is the fishery of high waters. Enjoying nearly 3,000 kilometers of sea border has made the country a good center of fish farming and other aquatics, or the breeds, which can be raised in warm and salt water. Moreover, according to the statistics, there are 10 million hectares of dry farms in Iran, which can be used for production of 5 strategic crops. Studies show that over 2.5 million tons of wheat, over 1 million tons of barley, more than 2.5 tons of fodder products, and more than 800,000 tons of oil seeds can be harvested in these farms.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God. Welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. In such programs, I mean, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We try to criticize movies, especially Hollywood movies, with religious themes. And we started, in fact, the critique of the movie Fathers 2 from a couple of episodes ago. And hopefully we are going to end its critique today in this episode, inshallah, with Sister Asma, my guest speaker in the studio. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Abdullah, my other guest speaker in the studio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Pleasure, pleasure always.
And welcome. You know, let's take a listen to a short part of the movie Fathers 2, produced in 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross, and then we'll be back. Stay with us.
Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It has been 7 days since my last confession. But no matter how many I make, these hands that touch the troubled are still themselves unclean.
You have a doubt?
A doubt would imply that I ever wanted this responsibility. My father did. It was expected of me. I'm angry at God for failing to make me man enough to defy the expectations of me. And I'm envious of you. All I ever prayed for was a way out of this life. And to watch you given an out by God.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are trying to criticize the movie Fathers 2, directed by Rosalind Ross, produced in 2022. In this part, Sister Asma, the Stu's colleague in Confession Box, I'm referring to that part, you know, there's a nice or interesting, conversation.
I was waiting for that scene to come.
Yes. He says, I'm angry at God for failing to make me man enough to defy the expectations of me. Mm-hmm. And I'm envious of you. He's talking to his Stu,
yes,
by the way.
Too.
Right? For having the courage to do just that. Well, he's talking about different kinds of notions. First of all, let me ask you about anger.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you think of this scene with the message that everyone, except far few people on earth that do not become or do not take their anger to God, you know?
Well, I guess he was very wrong. Actually, most of these cases are very wrong because instead of putting the fingers to themselves, pointing it to themselves, they point it at God. While God has given them everything, they're just not making use of it. So if that guy has been forced into a direction that is not his favorite, so it is his problem and his responsibility, not God's responsibility, to change the man he is. God has given him the right to speak of his own self, but he did not practice that with his parent.
But some of the problems, sister, come about not as a result of our own actions. They are not reactions. They are
just
like
what happens to us too.
Like, for example,
sickness was something in the hands of God.
Yes,
and
this one,
when he complained to God,
yeah, and
it was
I'm
justified.
I'm talking about, like, for example, natural disasters that, take away your loved ones, for example.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Can you actually talk about that kind of logic with that literature, all right, to those people who have lost, for example, their dear ones,
yes,
all right, their lost loved ones, or those people who are like suffering from congenital diseases, they
yes.
took it on like genetically, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing they could have done for themselves, but now they are down with that, for example, disease. So you can take that logic to those people.
Exactly,
you know?
Yes, because I was talking to that specific person, like him, because if he was not brave enough, it was his problem. But the thing that happens to Stu or to many other people or just the way you mentioned, those cases are very, 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 very difficult and excruciating situations. Well,
do they have every
only
right to be angry with God?
I guess they have. As human beings, they have, because they have a God to buy all whatever they're going to say. And he would actually
they have a
respond.
God to complain to, but not to be angry at.
Well, it is the relationship between a God and his servant, so he knows how to deal with it. And I guess it's a personal thing to every single person. And at the end of the day, it's God the one who judges people. And perhaps even in these situations, he loves his servants more.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, maybe they after just some, I don't know, days, months, years, whatever, they're going to get closer to him. And eventually, he would give them the strength or the patience to tolerate the situation and find out that there has been something beyond what happened to them.
What about the other notion, envy? Because in the other part of, his confession to Stu in the confession box, he says that I'm envious of you for having the courage to do just that. Because Stu was brave enough to move out of his box, basically, right?
Yes, he had a talent for that because he has changed so many jobs.
Exactly. All right. And, you know, from agnosticism, you know, to
priesthood.
This is a rather radical step to take, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, what about this part, the notion of envy? Like, can people or individuals be envious of other people?
Well, see, we can't say that they can't be envious. It's something that, again, exists in us. It's a natural thing that is in us. But I guess we should just give it right directions. I mean, if that guy, instead of just staying envious of Stu, try to be like him or act like him or try to develop himself, he wouldn't have been just envious. Then he would have done something great for himself.
Right.
So I guess that we can say that I am not envious or people shouldn't be envious. Then they would turn into only slogans. But as human beings, we could give directions to our envy, to the wrong passions that we have toward other people.
Right. Of course, we are talking about envy with bad intentions.
Yes.
Right? Because, in Islamic culture, we have envy, which is like with a good intention, like you are envious of a person's advancement and progress, but you don't, actually wish him ill. Uh-huh. Basically, you have a well-wishing intention toward that person, you know? So we are talking about the negative side of envy, obviously.
Even those who have negative intentions, I guess it's an illness inside them. They have never worked on their soul much enough to heal that problem and illness that has got into their soul.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they have to work on their inner self.
I see. Thank you very much, Sister Asma. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, Father Stu, and then we'll be back with this question.
Bill Long, alcoholic.
We've all been in your shoes, sometimes too drunk to put them on, but you've made the first step admitting you can't do it alone.
Amen.
Yeah, well, could have used God's help for a lot of things, but never could find him. My son said that's because God wasn't lost. Anyway, I sure as hell didn't get the roadmap. I'm here because my son asked me to get baptized.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Brother Sayyid Abdullah helping me in the critique or criticism of the movie Father Stu, producing 2022, directed by Rosalind Ross. Sayyid Abdullah, I want to ask you a very difficult question.
Usually ask father, him difficult questions.
It's very much difficult because you find it out at the end of the question that I raised. Stu's father, in a group of therapy, a sort of Christian group therapy, basically, session, about to be baptized at the end of the movie I'm talking about, you know? Like, this is really, again, radical scene, basically, because he's an atheist and he wants to become baptized, right?
Mm.
Obviously impressed by his son, Stu. He complained that he couldn't find God before, right? He says it. He thought that God was lost, basically, right? Is God hard to find for people? Is it because we have so many atheists, you know, out there in the world
answer,
and they don't find God?
Yeah. The find answer hard. To your hard question is very easy. Yes. And it's no. God is the easiest thing to find. All you have to do is just think and open your mind. Sometimes you don't even need to think. You just look you'll find God. Even Allah says in the Quran, He places ayat, His signs, fi anfusikum wa fil afaq. Whether you look inward or outward, you will see God. And more importantly and interestingly, in the Quran, there's not a single verse that Allah tries to prove His existence.
Exactly.
Never. Never. A single verse. Because it is
such a
state. It's because such a He made it such a, like, how should I put the word?
Axiomatic.
Yeah, it's that it's this problem is being done with. It's over. The existence factor is over. There's not the discussion about it. It's how to get to Him. You know what I mean? So God is always there. If you want to find Him, you'll always find Him. You just need to decide to find
Him. So why do we have atheists who complain about not finding God?
Most people don't want to do the search. Most people are comfortable with the idea of not searching. I was watching a clip a few days ago on YouTube. Some Christian guy, he goes around and he interviews atheists, specifically atheists.
Right.
And he come to a lady and she said to her, "You're an atheist, right?" She goes to him, "Yeah." So he said to her, "You don't believe in a God." He says, "Yeah." He says to her, "Look, if I give you this book, a very colorful in sequence book, and everything is perfect, chapters are perfect, the words are perfect,
mm-hmm.
and I told you that no one made it, would you believe me?" She says to him, "No, of course. I'd say you're crazy." He says to her, "Okay, DNA, it contains your traits, the hair color, moral traits, it carries everything about you. We call it in science the book of life. So you're telling me that if I tell you that this book of life has no author, would you believe me?" And instantly,
I think in philosophy they call it the proof of the justification of design.
Yeah, design, exactly. So she just paused, and this is a student, a university student. She wasn't just your average,
right?
And she goes to him, "Well, in this case, I'm agnostic." Instantly, she changed from atheist to agnostic. Yes. Instantly, with just one particular example of a book. So if he would have continued with her, he would have made her submit to Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It just, you need to open your eyes. So most people, even with atheists, they just don't want to learn. They're just happy with the fact that there is no God, so they could absolve themselves of all the guilt and all the things that the music they have to face. So they will defend the fact that there is no God as much as they can, just so they put themselves at ease. Otherwise, God, even a child understands there's a God. Everything around you is a proof of the existence of God.
Right.
Like I said, some people called God, some people called Krishna, some people called Buddha, some people called Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter the naming. Some people, even if you watch Star Wars, they call the Force. You know what I mean? May the Force be with you. Call it whatever you want to call it. But it is, ultimately, it means there is a creator out there that you cannot deny. So God is the easiest thing to find.
Mm-hmm.
Is we are lost, not Him.
I see.
And He's constantly trying to drag us back in, but we just don't want to come back.
I see. And is it easy actually for a person like a criminal, as is too, for example, with criminal records, to become, you know, so much penitent, so much so that it becomes a priest?
Actually, the greatest men who walked the earth,
yes,
the most righteous people who walked the earth were actual criminals in their sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have the example of Bishr al-Hafi.
Right.
Bishr al-Hafi became a saint by one word of Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if your master was a servant, he would have felt ashamed. One word, and Bishr al-Hafi became one of the most apostles of the Imams. Until now, he's buried next to Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam. And some people, like, one word changed their life completely, and they became saints.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yes, of course it's possible.
I see. Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, for your nice explanation. And thank you for listening to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. Alhamdulillah, we finished the critique of the movie Fathers 2, directed by Rosalind Ross, produced in 2022. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
food for thought.
Hello, everyone, and here is a wonderful saying from the Commander of the Faithful and the Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The most helpless of all persons is he who cannot find a few brothers during his life. But still more helpless is he who finds such a brother but loses him.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Efforts by the U.S. spy agency in West Asia.
This is a story of a man with many faces named Amir Mansur Arya. He believes that during the years he was active in Afghanistan, he made the key to the disintegration of Iran, the key that those who were eager to ruin Iran would come to Afghanistan from all across the world to get. Since about 150 years ago, when Afghanistan seceded from Iran, the colonizers had always had an idea in their heads. Afghanistan shouldn't experience good days after secession. The continuous carnage and instability for about 100 years in a country that doesn't have anything to do with other countries shows the old and modern arrogant powers have had some plots for the country and the neighboring areas. You may not believe it, but in recent years he was one of the important elements for the disintegration of Iran, sometimes going with the name Arya, and sometimes with other names and appearances. Amir Mansour Arya was the commander of a terrorist group known as the Modern Iranian Army. He is a separatist who once had close cooperation with the U.S. with the goal of disintegrating parts of eastern Iran, and now he's here in Tehran. He's ready to talk about the plans to target Iran's territorial integrity. In today's jargon, Amir Mansour was a facilitator for the disintegration of Iran. To run an armed terrorist and separatist group in eastern Iran, he had the backing and support of a strange plethora of groups. From U.S. spy agents to agents under the cover of U.N. staffers, extensive communication with the MKO, Daesh, the monarchist whose goal was to topple the Iranian government, Abdul Malik Righi's terrorist group, the Tundar terrorist group, and also arrangement with the Mossad and some European and regional spy agencies. How and why did Arya form the army? Did he manage to establish the communication network on his own, or are there other people involved? The story dates back to many years ago. Arya left Iran for certain reasons and lived in Afghanistan for a while. Taking advantage of the vacuum in the establishment and the structure of the Afghan government, the ambitious Arya was designated for top military and security posts. Arya's characteristics were noticed by a top intelligence agent named August Leslie, who was in Afghanistan under the cover of UN personnel. Those days, Arya was known as General Mohammad Idris within the Afghan government. General Idris's relationship with August Leslie got deeper and stronger. August Leslie and General Idris, his position and facilities to carry out his own secret missions in Afghanistan. General Idris, namely Arya, was in charge of security issues during a trip by Kofi Annan's special envoy to Afghanistan and his entourage. But after a while, he realized that all missions of the Egyptian woman, who was apparently the representative of the UN Secretary General, but in fact was a senior intelligence officer, were security missions in line with U.S. espionage goals. After the U.S. military invasion of Afghanistan, the Americans directly contacted Arya. The first meeting was made in the Kandahar Air Base. Three CIA officers hosted Arya in a meeting whose agenda was to assess the disintegration of eastern Iran and establishing an independent country named the Free Balochistan. The people of Afghanistan are tired of many years of imposed wars and the looting of the arrogant and exploiting powers. They consider Iran as their safe haven. In the middle of all this, by using the soil and these people's facilities, ominous plans are being designed for the people of both nations who are in fact one. August Leslie, the American spy in Afghanistan, who played a significant role in the occupation of the country, had already told the CIA officers about the characteristics of Arya. They know how to use Arya's ambitious character to implement their nasty schemes. The seeds of forming a terrorist separatist group were sown in the meeting in the Kandahar Air Base, and an important project was launched. A special task is being planned and managed to coordinate the affairs between General Idris and the terrorists under his command on the one hand, and the other terrorist groups and spy agencies that work against the Iranian nation on the other. After a while, a main liaison was designated for communication between Arya and the Americans for security reasons. The liaison should not be an ordinary person. He had a special status in the then Afghan government to make the required arrangements. Habibullah Nureen had a completely structural relationship with the Americans. Through Ashraf Ghani's wife, he's managed to have a say in his decisions. He was a reliable person in the eyes of the Afghan president. Nureen was following up U.S. goals in Afghanistan and at the same time focused on Iran and the project to disintegrate the Balochistan province. By making the arrangements with the Americans, he helped Arya officially form the modern Iranian army and establish communications with other terrorist groups to get the project close to a sensitive stage. Now, Zina Tehrani enters the project to activate the media and propaganda aspects. Tehrani is a monarchist and a media personality. She had a close relationship with both Reza Pahlavi and the White House. She had to introduce the movement under the leadership of Arya as pro-monarchist and in fact a symbol of the monarchy that was pursuing national goals. But the network and its requirements are not complete yet. Arya is the right figure to complete the network and the chain. Psychologically, he's interested in bonding with different people. His ambition and thirst for fame are insatiable. During this process, under the leadership of the U.S., Arya got to know someone named Saadi Khalid, a separatist based in Afghanistan. Saadi Khalid had a focus on disintegrating parts of Iran. Now, the old dream of disintegrating Iran's east and west found a common ground in Afghanistan, and they're trying to make the necessary coordination. Meetings were held between Arya and members of Abdulmalik Righi's terrorist group, but all the capacities needed to be united. How is it possible to talk about dealing a strike to the Islamic Republic and causing unrest in Iran without mentioning the MKO? Shuku Ershadi, who was one of the members of the MKO and was residing in Sweden, got in touch with Arya, and hence the coordination between the MKO and the separatist modern Iranian army was made. The MKO members asked Arya to facilitate the transfer of at least 2,000 of their forces to safe places in Afghanistan and Pakistan to complete the military part of the project. Gradually, Arya turned into an interesting figure for the Zionists as well. He was influential in Afghanistan. He has armed forces, and more importantly, he dreams about disintegrating Iran among his other ambitious plans. Aram Moradi, who is an armed separatist in the west of Iran, was assigned with establishing a relationship between Arya and the Mossad spy agency. After a while, the Saudi intelligence service also jumped on the bandwagon. But why would the Saudis give to separatists like Amir Mansour Arya carte blanche? This is a question a Saudi prince in Lebanon, close to bin Salman, has recently given a clear answer to. The Saudi prince stated that Saudi Arabia has spent a lot to overthrow the Iranian government during the past years and has had contact with many anti-Iranian groups. But the Iranian government has remained firm and has even become stronger than before. Now, we've reached the strategy of driving Iran to five smaller countries. Now, it comes to light why the Saudi-funded Farsi-language Iranian International has been stoking ethnic tensions and the betrayer separatism. Disintegrating the proud Iran in the Saudi network has become a hot topic, and many audiences of the network have been vocal against it, and every now and then, the guests criticize the separatism agenda of the network. But an important link for the communication network is still missing. Arya has to communicate with Daesh in Afghanistan as well. The blood-shedding and merciless terrorist movement that Amir Mansour Arya or General Idris talks about is completely under the control of the U.S. and is supposed to push forward the military goals of the plan. One day, Arya has a long beard and looks like a middle-aged Afghan man, and the next day, he shaves his beard and becomes a general of the modern Iranian army. But he's had other faces and appearances as well. During the time his terrorist network was getting complete, he received support from the CIA and disguised as a doctor named Mansour Masoudi to live in Afghanistan. In the meantime, a part of the White House budget earmarked for the modern Iranian army to topple the Islamic Republic was received by a person named Hamzipur. After the order to start the project, over 500 suicide forces and 2,000 terrorists got ready to be used in the U.S. lightning strike in eastern Iran planned by Donald Trump and his team. Trump called the Iranian people terrorists.
In a little while, I'll be giving a speech on Iran. A terrorist nation like few others.
His security advisors and foreign secretary openly and covertly talked about overthrowing the Iranian government in every gathering.
For over 10 years since coming to these events, that the declared policy of the United States of America should be the overthrow of the mullah's regime in Tehran.
Thereafter, a military attack against Iran and the modern Iranian army is tasked with executing a part of the plan. Now, the former General Idris, or yesterday's Dr. Masoudi, and today's Amir Mansour Arya, started writing letters to the UN and different countries to gain political legitimacy and set the conditions for a military and terrorist operation. But the U.S. plan to simultaneously disintegrate parts of Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan fell apart with an unexpected incident. General Arya and his first-hand and abundant information on the plots against the Iranian, Afghan, and Pakistani nations had been leaked to the Iranian intelligence officers at the intelligence ministry. It was a lethal strike to years of planning and efforts by the U.S. spy agency in West Asia. Arya's untold stories are more than what he said so far.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us. We're going to speak about the best way to approach the Quran.
Yeah.
Today, Friday, the 27th of Jamadi Uthani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 30th of Day, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 20th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment, we listen to verses 41 to 42 of chapter Fussilat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Innal ladhina kafaru bidh-dhikri lamma ja'ahum wa innahu lakitabun 'aziz.
Indeed, those who disbelieve in the message after it has come to them, and indeed it is a mighty book.
La ya'tihi al-batil min bayni yadayhi wa la min khalfihi tanzilun min hakimin hamid.
Falsehood cannot approach it from before it or from behind it. It is a revelation from a Lord who is wise and praiseworthy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Holy Quran reminds men of his neglect and negligence. The title Aziz, that means the honorable, is exclusively employed to refer to the Holy Quran from amongst scriptures. The blessed verses are addresses to all polytheists and disbelievers who regard the Holy Quran as encompassing magic and falsehood, and also those who do not believe in some of Quranic injunctions, such as usury, murder, adultery, and calumnious accusation and slander, as well as divine commands as to one-fifth tax and pilgrimage to Mecca and act against them. It also addresses those who subjectively interpret Quranic verses, like those regarding the guardianship, infallibility, and purity of Ahlul Bayt, Prophet's family, peace be upon them all. The topic of this episode is the best way to approach the Quran. The Quran is the book of Allah. Every word in the Quran has come from Allah. That is why we say that it is the holy book. The words in the Quran were sent by Allah to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family. The Prophet received the words of Allah through angel Gabriel. Prophet Muhammad regularly required the words of Allah to Muslims around him. These Muslims were very pleased and excited to receive the words of Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "The most truthful speech, the most eloquent advice, and the greatest stories are in the book of Allah." The Muslims listened carefully to what the Prophet read, memorized the sentences and passages of the Quran, recited them regularly, and followed the teachings of the Quran. In order to preserve the words of Allah, the Prophet appointed special people known as scribes of the Quran to write down the words of Allah, fulfilling the very purpose for which the Quran was sent.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today, we are going to talk about the different approaches to the understanding of the Holy Quran. The contents of the author's thought should be completely understood, and afterwards an attempt should be made to identify its roots and sources. Otherwise, the result of one's effort will be something like the works of certain writers of history of various sciences who write without any thorough knowledge of the subject, or similar to the works of those writers of philosophical books who undertake, for instance, a comparative study of Avicenna and Aristotle without any knowledge of either. After superficial comparison and on discovering some literal similitudes between the works of the two great thinkers, they immediately sit down to pass a quick judgment. Although for the purpose of a comparative study, very deep and profound knowledge of the ideas and thoughts of both of the philosophers is required, a lifetime of study is necessary for such a task, otherwise it has no more value than can be given to blind imitative conjectures. So only then we can arrive at an estimation of the influence of other books of those times on the contents of the Quran, and if we find something common in them, discover its proportions, we can then see whether the material that has been borrowed from other books is used in an original manner or not. Does the Quran go even further to the extent of playing a role in amending the contents of those books and setting right the errors occurring in them? So these three important stages are needed to approach a holy book like Al-Quran: authenticity, analytical study, and study of the sources of the ideas. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Now, purity of intention and ways of approaching the Quran with purity of intentions. We should earnestly pray to Allah for protecting from Satan. Allah gives in the Noble Quran repeated and emphatic warnings to human about the risk of following the dark suggestions of Satan. For example, Allah says, O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly and follow not the footsteps of the evil one, Satan, for he is to you an avowed enemy. Chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 208. And because Satan is out there with his menace to mislead us, Allah Almighty practically admonishes us to ask for his protection from Satan when seeking guidance from the Quran. In Chapter Al-Nahr, that is chapter 16 of the Holy Quran, verse 96, Allah says, when you do read the Quran, seek Allah's protection from Satan, the rejected one. Beseeching Almighty Allah for protection from the guiles of Satan means that humans must have full faith in Allah, the merciful, as the creator and guardian who can protect us from every harm.
قلب ينبض بالقرآن وهنا حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن هذا النور شفاء صدور فاض وعطر كل لسان وهنا حلقات
حلقات الصديق قلب ينبض بالقرآن.
In this part, we'll look at the levels of reading the Quran. We must show readiness and determination to follow the teachings of the Quran. This should be an expression of an unquestioning resolve to surrender to the will of Allah as expressed in His book. This also indicates that we are prepared to do without all selfish interests, lust, greed, foolish pride, and arrogance, in short, any love for the fleeting pleasures of life. In other words, this is a changeover to a new life dedicated to Allah's pleasure. The Quran should be read with full awareness that now we are with Allah, listening to His words, which are meant to guide us along the straight path. So when reading the Quran, we must take enough time for the verses to get a grip on our hearts and minds, so that the teachings contained therein can be embedded to the greatest possible extent.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 121, comes forward, and in the view of some people, when it comes to reading this verse, they believe it's an encouragement to recite the Quran. Yes. يَتْلَوْنَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. Allah says, there are those who we have bestowed the book for, the Quran, those recite it in the best possible way. Some people come forward and say, this is recitation, and an emphasis on you and I to recite the Quran. Yet, and a further examination of the Holy Book, as well as the Arabic language, reveals a very important, delicate point. Qira'a is not the same as tilawa. Quran doesn't say here, in this instance, yaqra'oon. They say, yatlawnahu haqqa tilawateh. Tilawa means what? Tilawa means qira'a ma'at tadabbur. It means to recite with reflection and contemplation. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say, أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those individuals who recite the Quran in tilawa way, those are the ones who truly believe in it. Because the Mufassirin say, you can recite it but not believe. But you cannot have the tilawa of the Quran but not believe. Yes, because that's a different level, isn't it?
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, which was about the best way to approach the Quran. Inshallah, we continue this interesting and, of course, essential topic. Thank you very much, and keep us in your dua and supplications. Till another meeting, have a nice time.
موعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our
Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.